Welcome to the Conscious Investor. Let's get started. Conscious investors, this is going to be the most conscientious recording session that you have participated in, because today I am joined by an extraordinary woman who is also a conscious parent coach. So Sarah, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
When I read, and so we have to do full disclosure. Maybe we should do full disclosure here. So how do I know Sarah? Well, my high performance coach, Faisal, this is his extraordinary wife. And here she is just quietly like, I'm a conscious parent coach. wait a second. I need you to come join me on a podcast episode. And so I'm really excited because I think that a lot of people are becoming aware and alert to the idea of, oh, I could have a life coach. I could have a high performance coach. I might have a health and fitness coach. But a lot of people, I don't hear people chattering yet about, let me have a coach for me as a parent. Can you tell us a little bit about what does it mean to have, like, if someone, how would you describe a conscious parent coach?
Okay. I would say there's two ways. So the first is the obvious, just by the title, conscious parent. So the prerequisite there would have to be that you're a parent and you are, you know, dealing with your children and you want to be consciously parenting them. So how is that done? There are several ways. However, there's also another side to this, because as you become conscious, what are you becoming conscious of? It's yourself. And so there's this parenting, but more of a reparenting of yourself. So you can look at it in those ways. It's not exclusive to parents, but of course it helps parents a lot because the parenting world is crazy. There's no manual. There's actually very little support, I have to say. And when you're thrown into this world, you're just like, what is this? Like, you can't get away from it. Right? You can leave a spouse, you can leave a friend, you can even leave your family members, but kids you cannot leave. And so you are forced to deal with all your buttons, all your triggers. And consciousness is really important in this because your relationship with your child depends on it. But like I said, the other side to conscious parenting, where your relationship with yourself and your past and how you were as a child, your inner child, that is also extremely important.
This is, I think, the model, the conscious parent model, is based off of, and I am not remembering her name.
Dr. Shefali.
Thank you.
Yes.
And so, I mean, she, when I read through, and your husband had said, you need to read through this book, Julie, you need to read through. Finally read through the book, The Conscious Parent. And that's what surprised me the most about it as well, was this wasn't a parenting manual. It wasn't telling me all the ways I'm doing things wrong or how I should be doing things, but it definitely took me inward and took me to that young child within me and was very revealing in how I'm parenting. Honestly, I'm scheduled for a reread of the book because there's so much to consume. Yeah. Yeah. So what does that look like when people work with a, you know, conscious parent coach? Like, how does it look, you know, in a similar way to a high performance session, or how do you support your clients?
Yeah, no, it's funny because they're quite different in the approaches. So high performance, I would say, is very structured. And there's this introduction, there's this whole coaching thing in the middle, and then you've got the end, the conclusion, and you kind of have the structure to follow. And a conscious parenting, I find, is more going with the flow and asking the client, okay, well, what, you know, what are your triggers? What's come up for you this week? Let's talk about that. And then from that, this whole coaching session ends up happening. Mm-hmm. I found that a balance of both works magic, to be honest. I think that you do need some structure, but then you have to be open to not just follow, you know, a set of questions. You have to be open to just dealing with whatever the client brings. So conscious parenting, it really is based on the triggers and your emotional state. Mm-hmm. And whatever kind of takes you to this boiling point, like from 0 to 100.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I have never snapped at my kids.
Never.
I did not do that last weekend while we were mountain biking at all. And it is not captured on my little GoPro camera. Never.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
Yeah, my son's got dirt on me.
That's hilarious. Yeah,
so you take those triggers and you kind of work through and process. And
because so the thing with triggers is that they don't happen for no reason. There's always a reason behind every trigger, small or big, it doesn't matter. But your reaction to a trigger reveals a lot about you. It reveals your patterns, because if the same trigger reaction happens over and over, then there's a pattern form. Then your pattern tells the coach, or you, if you're studying yourself, it tells you about your past and an emotional blueprint from your childhood, or, you know, growing up, whatever, maybe a trauma. So it's like you're watching out for symptoms of something that mm-hmm. didn't quite go as planned by nature, I would say, back in your past. And it's kind of like, how can I give you like a good metaphor? You know how stars, we're looking at them, but they've already happened. And what we're seeing is like the past, but that right. twinkling is like what we see. So these symptoms, I would say, is kind of like that. So you see a symptom from a reaction, and then that takes you to another world. And most people, they do not deconstruct or think of it this way. And that's mm-hmm. that's a little tragic, because a lot of times we diagnose ourselves, oh, you know, this person's got depression, this person's got anger issues, this person's this person's that. Mm-hmm. Well, what is happening? Let's deconstruct. Let's find out, why is this person reacting this way? It's not random. Mm-hmm. So I think conscious parenting does a really good job in kind of not dwelling on the past, where you're just staying there, but by using whatever's happening now to find out what happened and what made you stuck to that past, because it shows up.
I absolutely love that concept. I wrote it down here. You know, patterns reveal the past. I mean, that is so powerful. Instead of looking at what is happening to us as this, oh my gosh, I'm reacting, I'm a terrible, like this is a pattern where I think I fall into this. I think a lot of parents will naturally fall in, it will naturally resonate with this, right? Oh my gosh, I reacted, because I do know it's not a response, it's a reaction. So I'm thinking back to this little snap reaction at my son mountain biking this weekend. I reacted. Oh no. Now you bring in shame, guilt, embarrassment, I'm a terror, self-deprecation. And so we have all these feelings that we associate, because we know we're not supposed to react. We know that's not respectful or loving or caring, right? It's nothing we want to be. And yet it happens. And instead of like going in the corner with all of these horrible friends, hey, shame, come on, let's just go in the corner and like pout. Conscious parenting says, hey, let's look at why. Why did you do this? Let's dig into this. And now we can break it. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, that's exactly. And I'd like to add to that, that children are our mirrors. So they're kind of like our tools. They will bring out these symptoms much faster than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you cannot get away from your children. So you have to deal with it one way or another. Or what happens is your connection with them, your relationship with them will suffer. So if you're going to go to conscious parenting, this is the work. And it's really hard. But when you get to, when you practice it enough, this awareness of your patterns, and then acting to disrupt the patterns, when you get to this balanced, harmonious state, life is, you know, it will never be the same again. And your connection, it's beyond this, what do you call it? I guess this physical realm. Like you really feel connected to your children. And from a place where you're no longer having to do anything or predict anything for them. You know, all the anxieties that parents have. Those things, they don't go away, but you look at it from like an observer perspective, and also you end up having more compassion for yourself as well. So it's really an amazing journey. I mean, it's hard to put into words, but it's, like I said, it starts from the parent. It starts from you.
I love this. And I'm thinking about people listening right now where they're wondering, well, sometimes people think that they're in a okay stage and they're settling and they don't even realize that they're settling, you know, and they're carrying out the generations past just being passed on to another generation. What would be an indicator to someone who is in that comfort zone and they don't realize they're settling and that there could be a richer relationship at hand with their kid?
That's a really good question, actually. I've never really, there has to be a trigger even for people who are settling and comfortable. But then when it comes to having connection with your children, there's really no limit to it, right? And kids will always bring something to the table. You can have a controlled environment where kids will react how you would like them to, and they're like the good children. But then you will get the rebel child who will be like, oh, sorry, you guys have been comfortable for too long. Let me just shake things up a bit.
Right.
And so if it doesn't happen in the you know, middle school years, it'll happen in high school. If not then when in their 20s. You know, have you ever heard of the really good children that are like golden, the golden child suddenly turns into a rebel?
Because I was that child. I didn't go down the path of, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I didn't go down that rebellious path, but rebellion can look in so many different ways, and definitely qualify myself as the black sheep of the family. You know, you just decided to do everything different, you know, and
you know, those kinds of children actually benefit the family more than the good children I have. This is something Dr. Shefali always says as well, like the whole way the good child, because he's not teaching you anything, right? The growth comes from these kind of teachings, like, and a lot of teachings, unfortunately, a lot of realizations come from pain.
Yeah.
That's like the biggest kind of contributor to growth for humans. And so to answer your question, comfort, it's great, but if you want to kind of evolve, there's always something you can be looking at. There's no human being on earth who hasn't gone through something. They might not even be able to recall it. You know, sometimes I'll ask clients, oh, you know, what about your childhood? Can you talk about, oh, you know, I've had a great childhood. It was amazing. There's that. Okay, if your childhood was great, maybe you had a traumatic dentist appointment and you You know what I mean? It's because trauma, and this is another kind of area that I really, really am interested in. I've listened to a lot of Gabor Mate and, oh my goodness, I'm not good at names, but there's another one and he's absolutely amazing. He talks about how emotions get trapped in your body. And it could be from any event in your past that's traumatic, but we look at trauma as this like taboo word, oh, trauma, or, you know, it's a disorder.
Or it has to be something so horrible. Yeah. I had to have been at a near death experience. Somebody beat me or just, you're right. I mean, a lot of times I know for years, I associated trauma with something so extreme that there's no way I've ever experienced that. And actually, you know, through high performance coaching, I've realized no, trauma has a variation to it. There's a scale to that.
It could be as little as you're in kindergarten and somebody makes fun of you for picking your nose. Like, you know what I mean? It can be very small and it can be huge. But the point is that if it's not brought to your awareness, then it grows inside you and it stays inside you as this energy. It'll show up as pain. It'll show up as like panic or whatever symptoms. But that is not to say that you are, you know, trauma is something that is the end all and be all of your life. You know, trauma actually helps you to grow as a person as well. Mm-hmm. And so you can use the trauma, you can use the pain to, again, evolve and grow. And that is also one of the main kind of characteristics of the conscious parenting world, is that you as a human being have the ability to be so much more than what you allow yourself to be. And I think when it comes to being a parent, that's key, because you are now modeling for these other human beings.
So. I love that. And it's making my little mental bird trail that kind of stems off of this is this concept. I notice so many parents, and there isn't a nice way of saying this. It's an interesting concept where a lot of parents will want to be doing everything for their kids. So we just watched this movie that's controversial in the world, right? We just watched Turning Red as a family. And it's and I know you're in, I don't know if it's up in Canada, you know.
No, I haven't heard of it yet.
Okay. So it's this interesting movie. And as a conscious parent, like, I think you'll love it. And it was really what my husband and I took from it. And it's a cartoon movie, and she turns into a panda bear when her emotions get flared up. But she has this mom, the main character has this mom who is very overbearing, extraordinarily overbearing. And it comes full cycle at the end. It goes back to some trauma that mom experienced. Really insightful movie. And it has so much heat around it, which is interesting because we just decided, well, reviews or no reviews, like, we're going to watch it and it'll at least be a talking point for our family. Like, it's a movie, your friends are watching it, we'll watch it together, we can talk about it, we can see what's going on with this. And our biggest takeaway was about that overbearing parent. And, you know, in line with this conversation, the trauma she experienced, but was suffocating and burying deep within. And as you said, it will come out in some way. So, like, you either deal with it head on and, like, you know, just, you know, what is my word I'm looking for?
I wish I could help you.
Dissect it, tear it apart, yes, decompose yes. it. Like, just
deconstruct, yep,
just
yep.
deconstruct it. Thank you. That was right. Like, just taking the time to deconstruct it, as challenging as that can be. Yeah. Otherwise, it is going to come out in our life in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's where a coach comes in. Like, to do this work by yourself, it's possible, but it's super hard. It will take a long time. It's much better to have somebody who you are doing it with. And if it's a coach, even better, because they'll know the right questions to ask you and they can kind of contain your emotions as you're going through this journey of kind of self-awareness, because I think that's what's really missing, isn't it? Is we are too afraid. It's too painful to delve into these deep crevices, right? We've like stuffed it with things to distract ourselves. But yeah, they'll keep coming up, and they will come up, especially with children.
And everyone is gifted. I think most people are gifted with that child. I think every family has that. And it's really, truly a gift. I know I've told my son, you are the best, like the most challenging and rewarding blessing in my life. I am so grateful for you. Like, I would not be me if you were not you. And yes. I am so grateful. It is challenging, my friend. Like, he knows it. And so we don't hide it. I might be scarring him, giving him some trauma from that, you know, but it's like, I think he's very aware that he is challenging, but it's also, that's a good thing. And it will serve him well in adulthood as well, yeah. You know, who he is, but
yeah. And actually that reminds me, the whole reason why I even got into conscious parenting was because of my first daughter. And it was, I had everything controlled. Okay. I was the one who was very comfortable. I knew, like, if my child would blink, I'd know it. Okay. She's blinking. She's blinking in this way. And this is what's happening when she's blinking like that. Oh no, blah, 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 blah. So everything was under my control. And she was like the golden child. She would listen to everything I'd say. And we did have a lot of connection, but I was in control. And the only reason I was in control was because I had no control in my child. So I decided to take that lack of control and like go crazy on my child. As soon as my second was born, you know, it was impossible. She was not having it, but I guess I was blessed to be in this coaching world through Faisal, and I was aware before doing too much damage, where I kind of caught myself and I'm like, I have to do something about this, because it got to a point where my full on control was making her dysfunctional. Like, she was really in a lot of pain. Like, I was traumatizing, basically.
I can't even be myself. Yeah. I'm not valuable. I'm not accepted just as me. Exactly. I have to be whatever you want me to be. And
guess what? Since we're talking about patterns, I was treated like that as a child. So unconsciously, when you're unconscious, you pass on the pattern. And why do you pass on the pattern? So that you can heal from it. But while you're trying to heal or not healing, because you're unaware of it, your child suffers. So this is why it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
To not be aware of it. And then awareness is like 50%. So at least if you're aware, you're setting the tone and the foundation. The disruption of the patterns comes later. That's kind of, that takes a lot of practice. But the awareness is like somebody who's alcoholic admitting they're alcoholic, you know? Until then, you can't do anything. And so, yeah, for me, I had to do something when I saw that my child was suffering because of me. And that's why conscious parenting, and it's been about 2 years now. And we're at a point now where I'm able to catch myself much faster. And that's the whole, the culmination of all this work, is that life doesn't dramatically change. It's not like butterflies and rainbows everywhere, and you don't change it so drastically. But what does change is your ability to respond versus react, which is what we were talking about, where you notice, okay, I'm triggered. I'm going to repeat this pattern of mine based on this trigger. But now that I'm aware, I can step back and not continue the pattern. And then the way that you can do that is, I'm sure you've heard of space creators. I'm sure you've heard of who came up with the name, because I keep telling myself to mention it. But that's basically it. Consciousness is creating space. Mm-hmm. From that space, you are able to respond versus react. That's the whole of conscious parenting, if I were to sum it up.
Mm-hmm. I love that sum up also. And I okay, so question then. When you think about, okay, a parent has created some space and now they're maybe breathing a little bit more, not reacting so much, doing a little more responding. I know I always think about, if I were listening to this, what would I want the host to be asking, right? Because some people don't have, I mean, I have a little more experience in the coaching world and I've read this book, so I have a little more experience than maybe some people listening. And the question I would have, though, if I were to step back 10 steps, it'd be, okay, so what does this mean for the kids? Right. So now I'm not reacting. I'm reacting 50% less of the time. Like, am I still going? Everyone wonders how bad, this is the question, how badly am I really going to screw my kids up though? Right. Isn't that what everybody wants? And part of that drive towards like even pursuing something like conscious parenting would be like, I really don't want to screw things up for my kids. And maybe that's the impetus. And so they're wondering, I'm doing this work, but I'm learning, growing, healing, mending. How does that translate to my kids?
I think this is actually hard to do. I think accept the fact that you will screw up your kids.
Live in acceptance.
Be okay with it. I don't think that it's possible to screw anybody up. Why? Because human beings are resilient. We are constantly evolving, whether we want to or not. But maybe your kind of struggle as a mom, you know, you're doing all this work and your child is seeing that you're doing all this work. They're sensing it energetically. You don't have to talk mm-hmm. to them and lecture them. Oh, by the way, I'm doing meditation for 5 months. You know what I mean? They can yep. sense it. They sense
they know.
And so for them, it's, how can I put it? They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't care. They have their journey and they are living in the present. They are not sitting there and anxious. Oh, obviously there's a difference between creating dysfunction, you can cause problems in your children's lives. But if you're being aware, then you are working hand in hand with the child. The child is feeding off of you, you're feeding off of the child. It's like, it's this beautiful marriage, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to constantly tiptoe around and be like, oh my God, I'm going to screw them up. And it's easy to say, because I do this myself. I'm constantly like, oh my goodness, I didn't do this right. Now my daughter's going to do this. Now this is going to happen. Da, 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 da. But at the end of the day, she's fine. I'm fine. Why? Because we're in this journey together and life is not so black and white. It's much more complex than we give it credit for, but it's beautifully complex. Things will balance themselves out the way they need to. Like, look at us. I'm pretty sure we were screwed up as children, but we're here on this amazing podcast talking about being better parents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we have to not play God in a way. We have to really be humble and accept that we are humans and that our children are going to be on whatever journey that they're on, you know. Whether like we don't have control over that basically, but to try to have control, that in itself is a symptom of a pattern that you were continuing on.
That control pattern can be very, very prevalent, particularly amongst moms. You know, yes. I feel like there's so much a necessity to have a level of control when you have an infant and you're, you know, caring for this infant. There is this level of control I think a lot of moms fall into where it's, I'm going to have this, it might be a prescribed schedule for their kid, or then it's setting up play dates and making sure they're in extracurriculars and I don't fall into these categories, but I, you know, it would be comfortable for me too, because I do like control a lot. but you know, you see it oftentimes where it's like, okay, we got this activity and then we're doing this. And to learn to that, I don't know. I just think that sets this like subconscious pattern for a lot of parents, to where particularly moms who are managing, navigate, running a household, maybe another job and all this kids' extracurriculars, it requires a level of control to keep everything moving. And then that can come out in other ways. I'm just, you know, thinking aloud here. So it's an interesting concept to be like, release.
Yeah. Yeah. And that release can only come from understanding why you want to control in the first place. Yes. As a mother, you have so many things going on all at once. Like dads, I'm sorry, but dads will not understand it, because as moms, we're like doing 10 things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I do want to add also, I feel like this is a societal problem as well. There's very little support from others, even from family members. And this is not to blame anybody, but there's just not this understanding that, hey, we are raising this child and we need a village for this child. There's no village. The village does not exist. Even in like my culture, where my family is huge, but I have to go out and create this village. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm on my own. And so I think there's a lot of pressure on mothers to prove themselves. Mm-hmm. Hence the control.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Yes, I can see that. Oh my gosh, this is such a good conversation. I want this conversation to just continue on, but I'm like, oh, I got to be aware of time, because there's what you're saying, and these concepts are things that I think a lot of people are thinking and will resonate, but they don't know there are conscious parent coaches. They don't know that that's something that's accessible to them, and that there are books that are not just how to parent books, but there are books that help you really dive into, you know, healing your past so that you can parent well.
Yeah, the books are the attention is paid more on how can we fix a child, right? Yeah. What behaviors are the children presenting for us to fix something? And so no, there's very little in the way of questioning, okay, what is the parent bringing into this? It's mm-hmm. It's not such a hierarchical relationship. It's really not. And children will teach you very quickly that it's not. Thank God for that. Thank yes. God. Otherwise, it could go, you know, completely a different way. But yeah, I mean, I feel like there is this growing consciousness now. I don't think it's necessarily related to parenting, but I know there are a lot of speakers and you know, there's Gabor Mate, there's mm-hmm. Dr. Shefali, there's Gordon Neufeld. There's so many sources for parents to question what we consider the norm, that we have to create, or we have to be the curators of our children's lives. We really don't. We have to be the facilitators. That's our role. Mm-hmm. And going from the curator to facilitator, not only is it freeing for the mother, but the child blossoms, because they're like, oh, thank goodness, I can finally be me, and I can right. be accepted as being whatever, whoever I am.
Yes. Yes.
So there is a lot of work to be done. And you know, it's not an easy ride. I wouldn't recommend it for anybody who's not ready to take this on, but I know a lot of parents, especially mothers, really do need the guidance, because there's a lot of blame and shame, as you mentioned, and there's a lot of pressure, and to be able to understand it and take off that pressure, it's gonna change your life. But then also going back to conscious parenting being more than just for parents, for individuals, learning how to reparent yourself, it's a game changer. It helps you to not live on the surface level anymore. Pain is painful. You don't want to touch the wound that's open, but you have to face certain things in order to go out of it and evolve.
I love that. I think it's, I mean, I'm a believer in it. So it's like so worth all of the work, you know, and the payout is so significant. And knowing that by being willing to go through that pain, it's also providing a different future for the kids and for the family. It's a game changer.
Societies are built on families, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to remember that.
I love it. Sarah, I wish we had a whole nother hour that we could just spend talking. So maybe I'll have you as a repeat. Maybe I should just have you as a recurring guest on the show. Just throwing that out there. but I know that your coaching schedule is rather filled. Apparently I can't talk anymore. But you do have spots, and I'm not sure, if how people can connect with you, or if they can, find a spot on your schedule just to learn more, or, I know we're both connected with coaching communities. And so there's always, how can we support parents who are hearing this? It's resonating with them. And they're like, this is what I've been looking for. What do I do?
Yeah, I would definitely encourage to join Space Creators, which is something that I am a part of with my husband and with yourself.
Yes,
I believe. And from there, obviously, there are so many other resources, but you will find me as a conscious parenting coach. And I would love to, connect with anybody who wants to really dive into this area. And you'll find me there.
Excellent. We will have links for the Space Creators community in the show notes. And I highly encourage you, if this is resonating with you even a little bit, that's a very strong indicator that there is work that you are ready to do. And you don't want to hesitate to do that work, because today's work changes tomorrow's tomorrow. So it's, really laying down the track for the life that you are looking to live and that you are longing for. So you want to make sure that you're not hesitating. This isn't a life and death situation, but there is an urgency to your development so that you can, really change and impact those lives that are around you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the Conscious Investor Podcast. And to all of you amazing listeners out there, remember, adventure belongs on the trail, not in your investment portfolio and not in your personal life. So take the steps to make sure that you're investing wisely and investing financially, but investing personally. So connect up with the Space Creators coaching community so that you can personally be investing in your future and who you want to grow and develop into. Until next time, live big and love bigger. Feeling alone, disconnected? Conscious investors often feel alone or disconnected because of their unique perspective and desire to expand their thinking. But the journey of a lifetime isn't meant to be solo or forged by grit alone. Join the Conscious Investor community on Facebook, link arms, exchange ideas, and expand your thinking on finances, relationship, and community. Join the Conscious Investor group on Facebook today.